We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Monday, it's July 26th, it's 2021. We have seven baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. I'm joined by my good buddy, Keith Eister, Eyes819. What's happening, my friend?
Not much. Nice little Sunday off for you with NASCAR on a break. So, recording this Sunday night, obviously. Hopefully, you got some time with the family and rested up a little bit, but yeah, good little baseball slate to get into here.
And perfect slate to get right back, you know, rolling. Seven game slates are like 7 to 9. I say it all the time. 6 to 10, I mean, but like 7 to 9, I think, are the real sweet spots when you're looking at, you know, baseball. So definitely ready to get into this slate, break it down. A lot to talk about. Pitching, a lot to talk about with pitching because
Interesting is a good.
So, all right, let's get started with Washington at Philly. Joe Ross, Spencer Howard. This game's at a 10 total. Philadelphia is a 120 favorite. Any interest here in Joe Ross?
This is part of the interesting part of it. Price tags at 7,900 on DraftKings. He's playable. I mean, I think we need to look out for a pitch count here. He's been out for a couple of weeks. His last start came on July 4th. If I knew he was good to go, I might have some interest here. He was actually really good in his last three starts before he hit the injured list. And pitching, there isn't a ton to love here. So I have some interest if he's a full go. I don't know if we're going to know that or not. So a risky spot, but I think the price tag is fine if you know the pitches are going to be there.
I mean, they have said that like he had a lot of bullpen work and had bullpen sessions over the last week or so, like two bullpen sessions before getting ready to go here. So, I mean, I think it's a big question mark. I highly doubt we get the news whether or not like he's going to be 100% or not. But like you said, he's been pitching really well here recently before the elbow injury. And I mean, when you're looking at this lineup, there's some strikeouts and the bottom of the order with O'Hara, Bohm, Torres and like Hoskins and stuff, like there's plenty of strikeouts here. So I mean, I think Ross, if we do get news, is playable, but I think if we don't get news, I think he's a really interesting like tournament option, just kind of rolling the dice because we don't have a ton of options for pitcher today. Spencer Howard on the other side of this game, 6,400, doesn't typically pitch deep into games. He's an easy fade for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. If he was like 4,500 or something, we could have a conversation about it. But he's up there at 6,400. Hasn't thrown over like 60 pitches since June 14th. Yeah, no interest. Washington's been hitting the ball really well too. No interest for me.
And they don't strike out very much. So, I mean, that's always one of the biggest things too. Let's talk Washington bats. What are we looking at here for Washington?
Juan Soto just continues to rake. Obviously the top option. He's one of my favorite options on the slate, actually. Howard has problems with lefties and lefty power specifically, so Soto is a great play. You can throw Josh Bell into that same mold. Price tag's fair on him. Trey Turner obviously can always play. And then you're looking for a value option. I doubt Zimmerman cracks the lineup with them losing no DH today, going back to the National League. So yeah, really just Soto, Turner, and Bell are the three I'd be interested in.
Yeah, I mean, that's if you want to make it a three man. I think one-offs obviously are definitely in play here with the lefties. Like you said, Howard, decent against righties, big time fly ball rate against lefties. And I mean, Juan Soto has talked about like how much the home run derby has helped his swing get back to swinging for more fly balls. So I mean, Juan Soto, Bell, definitely in play. Just kind of seeing if there's any other lefties in there, maybe to make it like a three man. I know there was a really good report about like Kyle Schwarber getting close. I know he's not likely going to be back for this game, but he's one to kind of pay attention to because if he's back, this stack becomes really juicy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Schwarber would be a great play if he happened to come off the aisle.
I mean, the Philly side, they have a really high implied team total here. Like I said, they're a slight favorite and a 10 total. What do we like here for the Phillies bats?
I don't have a ton of interest. Harper is way priced up. Real Muto's priced up. Price on Hoskins is all right, but you prefer to target Ross with lefties. So I don't have a lot of interest in the Phillies here. I think Ross should be somewhat stretched out at least, even if he's not full go. I think he can get up to like 80 pitches. So you're looking at least four innings of Ross, who is pitching well. Harper is an expensive one-off, I guess, if you have the money for it.
I think like this is a team you fully stack or just say, you know, I'm out. Like you're hoping if you're stacking, you're hoping Joe Ross has some rust and he's not pitching deep. And I mean, Vegas line definitely suggests like that's a possibility. So I think you're stacking Philly, or like I said, I think you're staying away. And like with McCutcheon and Didi's price and Segura's price and Bohm and like these guys like Herrera, you could stack Philly and get Harper and Real Muto and Hoskins. So, I mean, definitely in play as far as like full on stacks go on this slate. We got Toronto at Boston. This game has a 10.5 total. It's a pick'em game. Thomas Hatch against Nick Pivetta. Any interest here in Hatch?
No interest in Hatch. Boston just too powerful, crushing the baseball. Hatch doesn't project to be a huge strikeout guy. Just probably right around league average is where he'll end up. So I'm not playing him against Boston.
I mean, you know, Boston on Sunday, they decided they wanted to take seven innings off against the Yankees and then come out and hit the ball. So, I mean, anything's possible. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have any interest here in Thomas Hatch. This is a spot you stay away. I think the Red Sox are very playable here. Nick Pivetta on the other side of this game, 8,700 going up against Toronto. Just faced this team, put up 10 fantasy points. He threw 6 2/3, allowed a lot of hits, and got really lucky in some circumstances. So, I mean, I don't expect Nick Pivetta to go out and have a good game here. And I'm definitely not paying him at this price tag.
Yeah, you can't pay 8,700 against one of the best offenses in baseball. I won't touch him.
Let's talk bats here. What's standing out to you for Toronto?
I mean, you got the studs. The problem is they're really expensive. So to get the full stack, you're going to have to find some savings somewhere, which we may have a couple of on another team. And if you want to get crazy with some pitching, maybe you can do it. Obviously, Vlad, Bichette, Simeon, Springer, all those guys, but they're all 5K or more. Springer's at 48. Teoscar definitely in there as well. I mean, all of these guys just have tons of power, very patient lineup, so they make pitchers work. I mean, just one of the best offenses in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, this stack's definitely one of the juicier. This game is one of the juiciest games on the slate. I mean, so this is obviously a spot where the both of these teams are very much in play. On the Boston side, we could say good things about a lot of these guys, but I will say really quick on the Toronto side that, like, I really like the price for Grichuk and Teoscar Hernandez and Springer all under 5K. Probably pair those guys as much as I can with Vlad and Bichette and Simeon some. But, yeah, I mean, even on the Boston side, love the Boston Red Sox in this spot. Like you said, they've been hitting the ball really well outside the early part of the game against the Yankees on Sunday. But, I mean, don't let that factor into your decision here. This is a really beatable pitcher according to, like, his minor league numbers.
Yeah, Boston is one of my favorite stacks. I think it's really easy to make work with Duran in the lineup. Hopefully he cracks it. He's just 3K on DraftKings. Verdugo is cheap, 3.5K. So with those two guys, you can really fit the full stack in pretty easily. Vasquez is cheap at catcher, 3,600 as well. And even Kike at 41. I mean, you pair those with Devers and Bogarts, Martinez, and I think it's pretty easy to get them in.
Cincinnati at Chicago, taking on the Cubs, 9 total in this one. Cubs a 130 favorite. This game being in Wrigley, we always are somewhat concerned about the wind, but it looks like it's going to be a very neutral wind in Wrigley today, and it's not going to be a factor. Any interest here in Wade Miley?
Not at the price tag. The Cubs are an offense that's been very beatable lately. Miley's not a big strikeout guy, and it's hard to see any upside at 8,600, even though the Cubs might give him an extra strikeout or two, I don't want to pay 8,600 for Wade Miley.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't want to instantly write him off because, like, if Baez is out of the lineup, you're really just kind of worried about, like, Contreras, Bryant and Rizzo. And as much as we, like, want to say, like, Wade Miley, not a big, like, strikeout guy, I mean, you're going to have to see what this lineup looks like. I mean, if Baez isn't in there and we get a couple extra lefties, I mean, Wade Miley can strike out lefties, and, like, he's very elite against lefties. Generates so many ground balls. I mean, I want to see what the lineup looks like. Pitching's weak today. Like, this is how weak pitching is today. I'm really considering, like, Wade Miley, because the Cubs have just been absolute trash. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, with the context of the slate, it could be a situation. He's a pretty good real-life pitcher. So it's a situation where he could go out there and give you 6 or 7 innings, grab the win, and put up 19 DK points and be on the winning lineup. I mean, it's that type of slate. If Ohtani doesn't do anything and none of the top-end pitchers have big strikeout games, Miley could certainly get there.
Yeah, I mean, the other side here, Kyle Hendricks, he's 9,700.
Same situation.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to see what this lineup looks like. Nick Castellanos being out of this lineup, you know, Moustakas obviously hurt. I mean, this is a younger lineup the Reds were such an offense that was rolling at the beginning of the season. And now, like, I mean, this might be doable for a guy like Hendricks.
Yeah, if I was choosing between Miley and Hendricks, I think I would lean the Miley side. But it's the exact same case to be made for Kyle Hendricks. He's not going to strike anybody out, but he could go 6 or 7 innings. And if the offense puts up some runs for him, grab the win, it could work out. But it feels gross to have to pay that much for Kyle Hendricks.
All right, bats in this game on the Cincinnati side. I mean, Winker at 4,600. I think he's playable. Votto at 4,100. He's playable. And then Naquin at 2,700. Don't know if I fully stack Cincinnati. Maybe a secondary stack because, like, Barnhart's cheap too, and he's 2,500 as a catcher. I mean, it's one of those secondary stacks where you're pairing with maybe like a Toronto or Boston where they're super expensive and still trying to get good pitching.
Yeah, Hendricks will give up some home runs, so I definitely think that you can look for some power bats here, and I don't mind the 3-man as well.
All right, the Cubs bats, anything standing out to you for the Cubs?
I mean, Chris Bryant would be the one I would look to first. Contreras is just so priced up. If he grabs the leadoff spot, I suppose you could take a shot on him. Rizzo hits lefties well, but tougher matchup with Miley. Not a lot to love here on the Cubs side.
Yeah, Wisdom and Bryant would be my two guys. Contreras is just way too expensive for me at catcher. I hate paying up that much for catcher, but yeah, I think overall Wisdom at 4K. Bryant, just his numbers against lefties continue to be phenomenal.
Yep.
Moving on here, we have Chicago White Sox, Kansas City Royals. We have Keuchel against Mike Minor. This game has a 9 total. It quickly jumped up to 10. It's still a pick'em game. Any interest here in Dallas Keuchel?
So I think this is the reason that you don't have to play Miley or Hendricks. I mean, three very similar pitchers. All three of those guys are above average major league starters who we don't really love to play in DFS. The difference is Keuchel is significantly cheaper. Royals are not a matchup I'm scared of. I like the price tag on Keuchel on this slate. I think you can do it.
That makes one of us. I mean, there's a guy that's a little bit more than him that we're going to get to here in a few minutes. And then there's one guy that's a little bit cheaper than him that maybe you could take a shot on, but I don't see myself using Keuchel, not a big strikeout guy. I mean, he could throw 5 or 6 clean innings here. And on this slate, that might be enough. So I hear why. It's just, man, it's so hard clicking the name Mike, like Dallas Keuchel. And then Mike Minor on the other side, he's 8,300 facing a very good Chicago White Sox team against left-handed pitching. I really don't have any interest in Minor here.
I have zero interest in Minor. The White Sox are one of my favorite stacks today.
Mine too. Did you read my notes before we started the podcast today?
I can't see them.
All right, let's talk about these White Sox bats. We both, like you said, are, you know, we both like them here. You got Vaughn, you got Abreu, you got Anderson. What's standing out to you for the White Sox?
News just came out also that Eloy Jimenez is supposed to be activated. Just checked his price tag, 2,500.
Chalkiest hitter on the slate.
Guessing he's going to crack the middle of that lineup. So, he's going to be a lock and load. Adam Vaughn, Adam Engel, all really cheap. I mean, this stack, those three guys with the two studs and Anderson and Abreu, I mean, that just builds itself basically. A little bit concerned that that's going to be really, really chalky. So going to have to differentiate either with your three other spots or also pitching. But I that's my favorite spot if we're just talking without ownership.
I mean, they're just I didn't even know about Eloy potentially playing here, and the fact that he's 2,500, do we think he plays the whole game or do you think it matters?
It doesn't matter at 2,500. I mean, you need one at bat basically for 25. If he only doubles and doesn't hit it out and there's one or two at bats, I mean, he's still paying off 2,500. I think they just probably slot him into the DH though. And I don't see why. I mean, he wouldn't play the full game.
If he DHs, does Vaughn play the outfield maybe?
Yeah. Vaughn can play left.
Yeah. I mean,
Engel and right probably.
Yeah, we'll have to kind of see. I think I get way more excited about Eloy if he's DHing in this game, for what it's worth.
Right, I think it's much more likely that he plays the full game if he's DHing.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Kansas City bats, anything stand out to you?
Merrifield and Perez, but they're priced up. Keuchel isn't really a guy I like to stack against with his elite control. Puts the ball on the ground a lot, so I don't love the stack here. But if you want to look for a home run, Sal Perez would be my top option.
Oh, good old Salvador Perez. I mean, the two guys you want to play from Kansas City most of the time is Salvador Perez and Whit Merrifield. They're just so expensive that it's tough to play those guys. I mean, if you end up on like an Alberto or something, I don't hate that. Soler is so cheap at this point that if you one-off tournament play him to maybe like pivot off of chalky Eloy. But I mean, Eloy's in a better spot. So
yeah, Dozier is the same situation as Soler. Both of those guys have just been so terrible, but there's theoretically a bunch of power still in there somewhere.
Yeah, and it's not like Keuchel blows the ball by anybody. So, I mean.
Right.
All right, we got Detroit at Minnesota. This game opened at 9.5. It's at 10.5 on some books. Minnesota's a 170 favorite. We got Manning against Pineda. Any interest here in Matt Manning?
Context of the slate. I'm going to keep playing. This guy showed so much talent in the minors. I'm going to keep taking shots on him as long as he's cheap. Minnesota losing Nelly Cruz. Polanco sat on Sunday with, I believe it was a back injury. So if he's out of the lineup, this Minnesota lineup could be really ugly. I think you can do it. I keep waiting for the strikeout stuff to show up, and it hasn't yet. He did pitch into through six innings last time out. So hopefully that was kind of what he needed to get him on track here. Talented guy. Waiting for the strikeouts to show up. I think he's in play on this slate.
Yeah, he's like a year or two away. Like he's not big league ready is what they like to say. But I mean, at this point, this Minnesota lineup is super beatable. So he was that cheap guy that I was mentioning earlier that like, if I was going to go to Keuchel, I'll just go all the way down to like Manning and I'll take a shot on Manning over Keuchel. But I mean, yeah, we'll see. I think Manning, like you said, for this slate is super playable. Michael Pineda on the other side finally had a decent game last time out, but this guy has really suffered from, I'll just say he has not pitched as well since they started checking more for sticky stuff. So I really don't have a lot of interest here in Michael Pineda. And I think on this slate, on the two pitcher sites, he might be popular.
I could see him gaining some ownership, yeah. But the strikeouts have completely disappeared since they banned sticky stuff. So I'm with you. It feels like we should have some interest at this price tag, but the recent form is awful, and I don't have any interest. I mean, I know it's Detroit, and we're supposed to want to pick on them, but I don't want to do it with this guy.
Yeah, I mean – I have more interest in playing some Detroit bats. Like, I don't think I'd stack Detroit here, full stack, but I could see potentially using some of these guys to even make a secondary stack or even like making, you know, a couple one-offs. I mean, Jonathan Scope's expensive, but we've talked about a lot of cheaper bats on this slate already that I think he's someone that is like potentially playable here. Badu, what are your thoughts here on Detroit?
Yeah, Badu and Grossman are the two that stand out. Both of them are underpriced. Badu at 3,200, Grossman at 31. I have a bit of interest in the full stack just because of those two cheap pieces that you compare with Scope. And then I like to add Candelario to that as well at a fair price. Pineda just appears he's not going to strike anybody out. So I think you can play some Detroit here. Badu is one of my favorite plays. I think he's an awesome option at 3,200.
And the great thing too is like Pineda gives up home runs. So, yeah. I mean, like even if you're like home run chasing here, Eric Haas is another guy you could potentially play. Like Pineda is a guy throughout his career has given up home runs. So, I mean, don't even look at like just this year. If you look back, he's a guy that gives up home runs. So Minnesota bats, any interest here? Like you said, Polanco banged up, Cruz gone. Yeah.
Like
he's not even coming. He's not even coming back. Like he just had wrist surgery, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, there's just not a lot of talent here. I'm not sure what Josh Donaldson has left. Like Miguel Sano's been terrible. Max Kepler has a fair price, I guess, if you want a one-off, but I'm not looking to stack this team at all.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're playing some Manning, like, if you're playing some Manning and you're playing 150, make a few hedge stacks. Like, at least give yourself a few hedge stacks. Like, it's not going to look good on paper, and that's one of the reasons that we like Manning. But, I mean, if you're going to play some Manning, give yourself a couple hedge stacks, especially if you're making 150 on a seven-game slate, so... All right, we got Colorado at LA taking on the Angels. We have Marquez against Ohtani in this one. 8 total. Angels a 155 favorite. Any interest here in Marquez?
Yeah, I think he's super playable in this spot. Ohtani's obviously a big concern. Walsh will could give him threats as a lefty power bat, but Marquez's numbers are always deflated because he pitches in Coors. Guy that has a 25% strikeout rate on the season, so gets a nice little bump getting away from Coors Field. The rest of the Angels lineup doesn't scare me. Very fair price on Marquez. We've talked about how there's not a ton of options. 8,400 for Marquez. So, I mean, at that price, I see some upside there. I think he's going to be popular, but I'm going to play him.
Yeah, and we know the report that came out Sunday is like Mike Trout returning back to LA on Monday because he's feeling something in like his calf. So, I mean, like we know Trout's not coming back. This lineup, you know, Justin Upton came back, I think Friday. I don't know if it was over the week. I'm pretty sure it was Friday. J-Up came back. So, I mean, a little bit better lineup, but still, like, the bottom of this order is just so bad. And like, Ohtani pitching, like, he's still likely going to hit too, but, like, he's a big strikeout guy. Justin Upson's a big strikeout guy. If Marsh and Stassi are in the lineup, they're big strikeout guys. So, I mean, Marquez is, I think, one of the better pitchers on this slate. And then Ohtani, I mean, on the other side of this game, right there with him. Like, he's another guy. Like, this is a game that I'm definitely not looking for a lot of bats, and I'm looking for pitching because this looks juicy on paper.
I agree. These are the two best pitchers on the slate. Ohtani has the biggest strikeout rate on the slate. Colorado has mailed it in, probably going to start selling here very soon. Story may not make it traded off before the game, but there's just nothing else outside of Story to really worry about. So a ton of strikeouts in that lineup for Ohtani. I think it's a great spot for him.
Doesn't Story have like some ridiculous contract or something? I thought I remember reading something about that, but
no, Story's going to be a free agent, I think.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so it's like a catch 22. People don't want to give up a lot, but he's getting moved, right? Like he's not going to be in a Rockies uniform for much longer. Bats in this game, anything stand out to you for the Rockies?
No, I mean, there's just not enough talent in this lineup. Ryan McMahon is the one off shot I might take, but no, not a lot to like here.
On the Angels side, I mean, you could play some one offs here. With Ohtani pitching, you can't play him at, you know, hitting wise. So, I mean, Walsh. Maybe Justin Upton, but I don't have a ton of interest in bats in this game as a whole.
Yep, I agree with you. You mentioned the name Brandon Marsh. He's really cheap, so and he's showed some power in the minors. 2,200 for Brandon Marsh.
Yeah, it's just like when you're looking at the earlier games that we were talking about, the bats are just
so much better.
So much better. So like that's just, you know, one of the things that you always are kind of looking at on these like 7-game slates is just kind of narrowing down. So, all right, moving on. We finish it out. Last game on the slate. We have Houston at Seattle. 9 total in this one. Houston a 175 favorite. It's going to be Garcia pitching for Houston. Seattle, I've seen a couple different things, but I think it's going to be Darren McLaughlin. And he threw 5 innings and 61 pitches against Colorado in Coors in his first start of the season last time out. Any interest here in Garcia?
Talk about sticker shock. 10-4 for Garcia. I mean, it's a great matchup and a spot we would want to target, but wow, you got to pay for it. Above average strikeouts from Garcia at 28% this year. Big strikeout lineup in Seattle. If you can make him fit, I suppose he has the upside to win you a slate, but it's probably not something I'm going to do often.
Derek McCann on the other side here, 4,800 going up against Houston. I mean, if he was facing maybe a weaker offense, I could do it. I don't see myself doing it. I just see myself paying this price going up against this team.
Yeah, no, it's strikeout rate under 20% in AAA, big ground ball guy. And you mentioned Houston, least strikeout heavy team in the majors. So very tough matchup. not a big strikeout pitcher, even though he's 4,800. I don't have any interest.
All right. Houston bats. I mean, I don't know what to do with Houston here. They're super expensive, and I don't like them as much as some of these other offenses on the slate. But I also feel like they're potentially going to be lower owned. I think Tucker and Brantley will get ownership because of their prices. But I think like the Houston stack as a stack might, you know, fly under the radar a little bit here.
Yeah, I agree. Jordan Alvarez is one of my favorite plays on the slate, actually. He's expensive, so I think that keeps his ownership down. I agree. Tucker and Brantley could see some ownership. But I really like those three. If you want to full stack it, I guess you add Altuve and Correa to that. I mean, that works for me. And depending on ownership, if they come in and they're way down the list in terms of ownership on this seven-game slate, then I'll have a lot more interest in the full stack. But I really like Alvarez. Tucker and Brantley are great plays. And then I'd add Altuve and Correa to that.
All right. Well, do you have any interest in the Seattle bats?
I mean, Mitch Haniger's been on fire, but
he wants them to get traded.
Yeah, right.
Going out.
This team. Yeah. No, not a ton of interest here. Garcia's an above average pitcher, I would say. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have any interest here, you know. All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. It's not like we have a ton of options today. Who do you got?
No, not a ton of options. I'm gonna look to a guy who has shown no strikeout ability whatsoever, but I'm going to take some shots on Matt Manning today and just hope this is the start that it clicks for him.
Well, that was like the only guy. I'll take Joe Ross, I guess. Like, I mean, I don't really love a lot under 8K. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Mike Minor is going to be the guy. They get Eloy back. He's crushed lefties in his career. This White Sox lineup just looks really deep, really good against the lefty Minor. I think he's going to have a rough day.
I'm going to go Nick Pivetta. Just put up 10 against this team last week. And put up, I think, six last month. So I'm going to go Nick Pivetta as my bust today. Give me a guy over 4K to hit a home run.
We just talked about him in that last game. I like Jordan Alvarez a lot today.
All right. I was trying to go off the board. Give me George Springer. I think that's a little off the board. I highly doubt that's off the board, but to me, it's off the board a little bit. under 4K to get two hits today. Who do you got?
I like Akil Baddoo versus Michael Pineda.
Can I take Eloy? Is that cheating?
No, I mean,
it's your Brantley, Tucker, Eloy. I mean, there's a bunch of them today. Like, there are a lot of cheap bats. Like, get the pitchers that you want. I think that's like my best advice I can give you guys today. Like, get the pitchers that you want and then just start building some lineups because, I mean, there's cheap bats everywhere. Give me a stack to score six or more runs today.
I'm sticking with the White Sox today. They are my favorite team.
All right. I was going to say that too because I didn't want to go Toronto or Boston, but I'm going to go Toronto or Boston now. Give me the Boston Red Sox. Homer alert. All right, Keith, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Should be a really fun week. I love trade season. Unfortunately, the Cubs are probably going to sell off some guys that are pretty near and dear to my heart after their World Series run. But really interested to see what we get back from them. Always love watching the rumors and following all that stuff. So good time of year.
I don't even know what I'm rooting for the Red Sox. Like, I wrote this season off like so long ago. And
you
like,
want Kimbrel back, right?
I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like, I didn't expect the Red Sox to be like 600. Like, it's crazy that they're playing as well as they're playing. So, I mean, they have a really good playoff run chance right now. I think the Yankees are eventually going to get healthy and like they're going to make a push. But I think as a Red Sox fan, I'm just kind of hoping that one more big bat, and like I really think it needs to be a lefty. I think they need one more big bat. Like, I was actually kind of sad that like Jock Peterson went to Atlanta, because I think he would have been someone that could have potentially platooned a little bit on that Red Sox team. But yeah, I mean, trade season's always fun.
Rizzo would fit nicely. I'm not sure if the Cubs are going to be interested in moving him or not, but
I mean, as a Cubs fan, you're just like, all right, well, let's rebuild. I mean, we're under 500. We have a worse record than the Cardinals. So, I mean, yeah, but the thing is too, like the Reds might sell, like, you know, with that team having all the injuries and stuff. So, I mean, the Cubs, I don't think are necessarily out of the playoff hunt. I mean,
I think they're sellers for sure. I mean, so? The three teams out West, it's there's no wild card on the table. So it's really catch Milwaukee or bust. And I don't think they can catch Milwaukee. I think they're going to move some pieces this week.
Yeah. Talk about a team, man. The Milwaukee Brewers are like, so their bullpen is just so good.
Yeah.
Like their arms just in general, like the offense is not good at all in that bullpen. Like, talk about a team that could add a couple pieces, you know. Milwaukee's another team. So, and I mean, like the NL East is like, who wants it? It's up for grabs. I mean, that's going to be a fun one to follow here on the second half of the season. You know, the Nationals are still within reach. Marlins are probably out of it, but I mean, there's like three or four games from what I remember, like separating the NL East. So it'd be fun. It's always fun. Like you said, it's trade time. It's always fun. So that's going to wrap it up here for Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday. If you're listening on iTunes, leave us a little review. I like 5 stars. I know Keith likes 5 stars. So we'll be back Tuesday talking more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.